This is Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is Elaine Donnelly, president of the Center for Military Readiness. We want to get her thoughts as the debate over whether gays ought to be able to openly serve in the military heats up again here in Washington. It's a policy that President Obama has promised to change. Current law says that homosexuals cannot serve openly in the U.S. military, although that policy was muddled a bit by the don't ask, don't tell approach taken by President Clinton in the early 1990s. So what do we need to know about this debate, and how soon will it come to a head here in Washington? And Elaine, thanks so much for being with us.
Nice to talk with you.
Just talk about in general, I know this debate has come up and has been reiterated many times over the years. What is the biggest reason why either this policy should change or the original policy in your mind ought to stay in place?
Well, first let's define the terms. And we'll do that by talking just for a minute about the history of the law and what would happen if the law is repealed. First of all, in 1993, Congress did not pass Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Congress passed a law that codified regulations in place long before Bill Clinton took office, and that law, that statute, has been upheld by the courts as constitutional several times. But where does Don't Ask, Don't Tell come from? Well, that catchphrase defines a policy that Bill Clinton put in place in the form of regulations that are different than the law. It is this policy, Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which states that homosexuals can be in the military as long as they don't say that they're homosexual. The problem is that administrative policy is different than the law, and the confusion has contributed to people wondering, well, what is the policy right now? Obviously, what they should do is look at the law, post it on our webpage, and then consider what would happen if that law is repealed. Don't ask, don't tell would go away, yes, but the consequences would be quite extreme if that statute is repealed.
And go through that. You've obviously studied this issue very carefully. Explain why you believe keeping things the way they are is much better for our military and ultimately our national security.
The statute is based on conduct, and it reflects the need, it endorses the need for good order and discipline in the military, which is different than the civilian world. The law states that in conditions of forced intimacy, that's the phrase used in the law, men and women should not have to be exposed to persons who might be sexually attracted to them. It's the same principle that we see in action when we have men and women in the military. We don't say that it's all right to have men in the private areas of the women 24/7 with little or no privacy. Obviously, such a policy would be a recipe for trouble. It would undermine good order and discipline, would not be fair to anyone. It's the same principle that says, and the law says, that homosexuals are not eligible to be in the armed forces. They can serve their country in other ways, but they are not eligible to be in the armed forces. Now, if that law is repealed, the new policy would be quite radical. Forced cohabitation with known, not discreet, but professed and open homosexuals in the military, 24/7, in all military communities and branches, that means submarines and special operations forces, Army infantry, Marine infantry, and the like, with zero tolerance of dissent. Now, that latter part of this new policy is something that should not be underestimated. It means that if you don't agree with this new policy, open or cohabitation with professed homosexuals, you could be denied your promotion. Your career could end for that reason. Your motives will be questioned if you complain of anything that happens that you consider unacceptable. This is really quite radical because the military will experience more incidents of sexual misconduct to include male-male incidents as well as female-female incidents and the ones we already have. So, if this law is repealed and the young men and women in our military are asked to carry this heavy burden of social engineering, it's very unfair to them. And according to a recent Military Times poll, which indicated for the fourth year in a row, 58% of the active duty respondents said they were opposed to repealing the law. In this poll, they asked a new question: what would you do if the law is repealed? 10% said they would end their careers. In other words, they would not reenlist. An additional 14% said that they would end their careers in the same way. Now, we cannot afford to lose 23% of the volunteer force. We just can't, or anything close to that. That would pretty much destroy the volunteer force. Now, Congress has to take this seriously. and not be carried away with arguments made by civilian activists who don't even know what they're talking about.
And we're talking with Elaine Donnelly. And Elaine, you mentioned the retention rates could be radically affected by this. Any indication how the recruitment rates would look, those who are considering military but haven't joined yet, if this were to be the new policy?
Well, I think right now recruiting and retention is strong because the economy is weak. But we cannot count on that continuing because, again, you would have a combination of voluntary losses, personnel losses. People would leave. They would just not reenlist. Obviously, they would carry out their contract, but they don't have to reenlist. You're in the volunteer force, after all. But in addition, we could lose a lot of people if they just make it known they do not agree with this new policy. At that point, they are outside of the perimeter of what is called in the military zero tolerance of disagreement. And the military does not do things halfway. That means you could be subject to discipline or denial of promotion. And in the military, if your promotion is denied, that pretty much ends your career. That's how it works. So, again, the military is unlike any other occupation, any other employer in the civilian world. It's very unfair to expect our young men and women to be part of an involuntary social experiment involving sexuality. This has nothing to do with race, nothing to do with civil rights, but if you pretend that sexuality doesn't matter, you're asking for an awful lot of trouble, a lot of disciplinary issues that we just don't need.
Elaine, you've testified on Capitol Hill. You follow the process. He's up there very carefully. How soon do you expect this to come to a head legislatively?
Well, the advocates of repealing the law have been quite out in the open. They expect this repeal bill to go through in this current session, or they don't say exactly when, but the defense authorization bill comes up in May. We know that pressure is on the Joint Chiefs to say something, anything, indicating that they would not mind. So far, that hasn't happened. We know that Senator Kennedy is going to sponsor a bill. This is a new development. If he gets a Republican co-sponsor. That was reported yesterday in the Boston Globe. That's why people who care about the military should let their own member of Congress know that they support the law. And there's an easy way to do that. On our webpage, 3ws.cmrlink.org, you will find a petition there. It's called AmericansForTheMilitary.com. You can go to that petition and sign on. That message will be conveyed to the President and members of Congress at the appropriate time. We really need Americans across the board to defend that law. And again, it's a statute. It says homosexuals are not eligible to be in the armed forces. It's a sound law, constitutional, and all the information needed is there on our webpage as well.
Elaine, unfortunately, we'll have to call time there. Thank you so much for being with
us.
Nice
to talk with you.
Elaine Donnelly is president of the Center for Military Readiness. This is Dateline Washington.